It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. While many kids fill their summer days running, playing, and swimming, there are thousands of kids in Maryland who find themselves distracted by their hunger. For the most part, the kids who are hungry in the summer are the ones who received free or reduced-priced breakfast and lunch during the school year. Plus, during the school year, some kids can get 3 meals a day, but this summer, for the first time, only 2 meals a day. What are the barriers to feeding these children, and how does summer nutrition laws affect a student's achievement when school starts? Joining me now to talk about this is Jonathan Rondeau, CEO of the Family League of Baltimore. Welcome.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone is Robert Lawrence, a medical doctor who directs the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. He supervised research about the impact of poor nutrition on children. Dr. Lawrence, thanks for joining us.
Very happy to be with you, Sheila.
Now, Jonathan Rondeau, tell us about the situation. How many Maryland children are dealing with food insecurity?
So in Maryland, about 25% of the kids who get free lunch during the school year actually receive it during the summer. In Baltimore City, it's a little bit higher, about 52%, which is in Baltimore City, it's about 46,000 kids that qualify for free lunch.
Is it essentially the same kids who qualify?
Yes.
The same eligibility standards.
So yeah, there's about 85,000 kids in Baltimore City Public Schools, so about half, a little bit more than half, qualify for free or reduced lunch. And then in the summer, only about 26,000 kids are actually getting meals. We're about double that during the school year.
And tell us how your programs go about feeding kids in the summer.
During the school year, with a variety of partners, we provide after-school meals to about 30,000 kids each day. In the summer, we work with our partners, Baltimore Housing and City Schools, to provide meals, 2 meals a day currently for this summer through a mobile meals program, where we're in 3 neighborhoods doing a breakfast and a lunch drop-off to about 11 stops.
So these are vans?
These are vans that will pull up to a community where we know kids are, in like McCullough Homes and the Upton community. So we'll stop there for breakfast. About 35 kids will get their breakfast, and then we'll come back for lunch, and there may be more kids that get their lunch there. And we'll have a community partner that's doing an activity at that site, so while they're eating, which is a requirement for them to stay and eat near that van. USDA requirement, and so we'll have some sort of fun activity for them to be engaged in.
So you do breakfast, you go back for lunch?
Lunch. And this year, we are unable to, at one location, you can't provide 3 meals. USDA provided guidance to states in the fall that said that only 2 meals in the summer could be given at one site.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a minute, but let me ask Dr. Lawrence. The Federal Agriculture Department, USDA, pays for these meals and sets guidelines about what foods have to be included in them. You've practiced internal medicine. When kids aren't getting balanced meals from school, what are they eating, and how does that affect their health?
Well, most of them, unfortunately, are eating the highly processed, high sugar, high fat, high sodium diet that many Americans have now adopted. It's an unhealthy diet. And the more that they have access to the kind of food Jonathan's providing, of course, the safer they are and more protected from relying on these junk foods. Unfortunately, the restrictions that the USDA is imposing, not because people at the USDA want to do that, but under political pressure, mean that the program isn't quite as robust.
That's Dr. Robert Lawrence, director of the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, here on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Jonathan Rondeau, CEO of the Family League of Baltimore, and we're talking about summer hunger among kids. Jonathan, this new regulation, and Dr. Lawrence just mentioned it too, of 2 meals a day. Describe to me the impact that you see that having.
So I think, just to clarify, it's the regulation had always been there. It's new guidance that's been provided to states. So in the past, we had been serving 3 meals at one site, but there has been heightened guidance, and so the state has enforced based on that guidance. But what that means is that kids who often, at some of the locations, the 2 meals a day that they're getting 6 days a week between when school's out and when school gets back in session. Those may be the only meals other than sort of the Doritos or the sugary soda that they may be getting from friends or from the corner store if they have a few dollars. The average family, if a family in need in Baltimore is getting SNAP benefits, it costs $300 on average to have a kid out of school.
SNAP benefits are what we used to call food stamps.
Correct, which means that your benefits don't go up because school's not in session. So, and during the school year, they would be getting those meals. And so those are incredibly challenging for a family to sort of navigate and to have access to food.
Dr. Lawrence, is there an impact of that summer nutrition, if it's not good? Can you actually see that impact when kids come back to school?
Well, you see it long term. One of the problems with the reliance on snack foods and sugared sweetened beverages, which ends up being sort of a staple, both because they're so cheap compared to healthy foods and also because they're so widely present in poor neighborhoods. You go into areas that our food mapping project has designated as food deserts in the city of Baltimore, you can find corner stores everywhere. You can find fast food chain restaurants everywhere, but you cannot find stores that are selling whole grain products or fresh fruits and vegetables. And when a child is consuming highly refined carbohydrates and sugar-sweetened beverages, they get this immediate sort of sugar high, but they do not feel satiated. So before very long passes, they end up feeling hungry again, eating more junk food, having this kind of roller coaster of blood sugar levels, leading them to be intermittently sort of hypoactive and then sluggish and hungry. And that's just a bad formula for kids learning and growing in a healthy way.
Jonathan, you also mentioned USDA rules that children have to eat the meal on site, that the staff who's serving them or the volunteers who are serving them need to see
Correct.
That they're eating it. And I can imagine that many listeners say, well, that makes sense because, you know, kids might throw it away, whatever. So you're trying to get that changed, too.
So the congregate eating requirement does limit the amount of kids that have access to food because a lot of the communities that our mobile meals are going aren't necessarily traditionally the safest neighborhoods for kids to be in. And some families, while mom, dad, or the caregivers at work, don't want their kids to leave their apartment. So while there might be a van right outside their door, they don't want them hanging out outside while they're not home for the 20 minutes while they might be eating a meal. So that's a missed opportunity for them.
So you're saying a family might send a child to get a meal and bring it home to eat.
Exactly.
But they don't feel safe sending a child out for a longer period of time.
That's one of the sort of barriers to that. So, or older kids feel like the stigma of sort of coming up to the van and hanging out outside the van is also an issue when you're looking at sort of high school kids who may be hungry.
So what are the prospects of getting this new guidance that you talked about two meals a day and the rules about having to eat at site? Is there any likelihood that that's going to change?
So there, regarding the two meals a day, there is a bipartisan Summer Meals Act that's in the Congress now that's been introduced around sort of eliminating that sort of only two meals guidance.
If you could pick one other program or activity, what else would you like to see to reduce food insecurity among kids?
I think the other one is having kids involved in programming. So being involved in summer programming, many summer programs offering meals as part of that, but also deals with the summer learning loss. In Baltimore, the Family League just completed analysis that shows out of 85,000 school-age kids, there's only about 20,000 summer learning or summer activity slots for kids to be involved in, meaning about 65,000 kids are at home or not involved in summer activities. And there's lots of research that shows that kids that are involved in getting meals associated in most of those programs do sort of stem summer learning loss, also helps them socially and emotionally as they go back to school.
I really appreciate you both talking to us about it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Lawrence directs the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. Jonathan Rondeau is the CEO of the Family League of Baltimore, which runs a mobile meals program during the summer. In about an hour and a half, at 10:45 this morning, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will visit Hamilton Elementary in Northeast Baltimore to talk about the USDA's efforts to get more children connected to meals during the summer. To find out where summer meal programs are located, call 211 or go to bemoresupersummer.org. We've got those links and more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, how Baltimore's deaf community came together. Stay with us on 88.1.